Today is Wednesday, July 22nd, 2026, and you're listening to the World Socialist website. Democrats to Trump on Iran, win the war. By Andre Damon. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth testified alongside General Dan Kane, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, before the Senate Appropriations Committee on Tuesday to demand $67 billion in emergency funding for the Iran war. Held amid mounting casualties, the hearing revealed the deepening crisis of American imperialism in Iran, where it faces a military debacle to which the Trump administration has responded with renewed bombing and the active discussion of deploying ground troops and using nuclear weapons. Hegseth, admitting that the cost of the war had surged to $37.5 billion, conducted himself as a belligerent bully. "Shame on you and on others who call this a quagmire and a failure," he raged. In the face of growing popular opposition, the Democrats made every effort to show that they're a loyal opposition, accusing the administration of incompetence in the prosecution of the interest of American imperialism. The most significant statement came from Democratic Michigan Senator Gary Peters, who called Hegseth a failure and declared, "You don't have a strategy. You don't have a long-term plan to actually win this war. Win the war," end quote. Peters continued, "The men and women are going to be able to do it, but they need to have leadership. When will you show leadership?" End quote. Under conditions of mass popular opposition to the war, which is being used by the Trump administration as a pretext to cut food stamps and other social services, the position of the Democratic Party is not stop the war, but win the war. Peters personifies the Democratic Party as a party of Wall Street and the military intelligence agencies. As a Navy Reserve Lieutenant Commander who served in the Persian Gulf, he spent 23 years in finance at Merrill Lynch and Payne Webber before entering politics and reported a net worth of up to $6.3 million at the end of 2014. He entered the Senate in 2014 as an anointed candidate of the party establishment, retiring Senator Carl Levin, the longtime chairman of the Armed Services Committee, and Senator Debbie Stabenow endorsed him. Senator Elizabeth Warren raised money for him. Peters has been backed throughout his career by the United Auto Workers bureaucracy. Endorsing him in 2014, the UAW praised him in its Detroit News column for supporting, quote, "Michigan's working families and the auto industry." The UAW endorsed him again in 2020. In 2017, Peters co-sponsored legislation that would have made it a federal crime to support boycotts of Israel and its settlements in the occupied Palestinian territories. As Israel was carrying out the genocide in Gaza, he sponsored a bill authorizing $30 million more for Israeli operations, and he voted to ban American funding of UNRWA at the time when it was a principal agency coordinating humanitarian aid in Gaza. The Democrats' other critique was that the war of choice against Iran is taking up funds for their central focus, the war against nuclear-armed Russia. Quote, "We're in a moment in history where we can win the war in Ukraine," Democratic Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois declared. "But instead of finding the money that they need now for air defenses, we're putting more money into this exchange with Iran, a war of choice which we never should have entered," end quote. Democratic Senator Chris Coons of Delaware told Hegseth that, quote, "We need to protect our troops wherever our president directs them, that we need to protect our partners and allies, and that the dangerous radical Iranian regime should never possess a nuclear weapon. I think we all agree on all of those core basic points," end quote. Senator Patty Murray of Washington, the committee's Democratic vice chair, despite saying she would not rubber stamp Trump's request, pledged that, quote, "My Democratic colleagues and I will do absolutely everything to ensure that we do take care of our service members and keep this country safe," end quote. Not one senator, Democrat or Republican, proposed cutting off funds for the war. In more than 3 hours of testimony, exactly one senator asked about the administration's active discussion of a ground invasion of Iran. Quote, "The next step would be the escalation of ground combat. Do you anticipate that escalation?" asked Democratic Senator Jack Reed of Rhode Island. Kane refused to answer. A July 15th report in the Wall Street Journal placed the seizure of Karg Island and other Iranian territory by U.S. troops among the options under White House discussion. Keith Kellogg, the retired lieutenant general who was Trump's Ukraine envoy, told Fox News' America Reports Monday that airstrikes would not end the war and that American troops should take strategic ground inside Iran. Despite the efforts of the Democrats to solidarize themselves with the efforts of the U.S. military to dominate the world, they could not deny the criminal character of the war being waged by the Trump administration, whose defense secretary earlier vowed, quote, "no quarter, no mercy for our enemies." In her opening statement, Murray said that Trump is threatening escalation and war crimes. Democratic Senator Jeff Merkley of Oregon asked Kane about U.S. attacks on water infrastructure. "You are aware that infrastructure that civilians rely on to survive is not generally considered legitimate military targets?" These insincere qualms, however, will not stop the Democrats from funding the war. The supplemental contains $21 billion for fuel and the replacement of equipment used up in the war, and $46 billion to expand the production of weapons, rocket motors, guided bombs, hypersonic missiles, and counter-drone systems. It also funds far more than the Iran war, nearly $1 billion to keep the National Guard deployed in Washington, over $1 billion for the Army on the southern border, $900 million for the administration's illegal boat strikes in the Caribbean, and over $18 billion in bombs and missiles already requested through the regular budget. The package is designed as a bridge to the administration's $1.5 trillion military budget for next year, a roughly 50% increase over this year's record $1 trillion. The weapons production lines it opens are to be kept running by their larger budget, while Hegseth and Kane present it as a general investment in preparing for the wars of the future. The Trump administration is answering the crisis of its war with reckless escalation. The Democrats are answering it as a party of loyal opposition, seeking to contain the popular hatred of the war while ensuring that American imperialism achieves its aims of dominating the Middle East and the world. Tuesday's hearing made clear that all factions of the U.S. political establishment support the war and its aim of subjugating Iran to U.S. domination. The fight against war can be taken forward only through the independent mobilization of the working class in the United States, in Iran, and internationally against the capitalist system that is its source. Auto workers denounce threat by UAW official against rank-and-file presidential candidate Will Lehman, by our reporters. Auto workers, retirees, and other workers have issued statements demanding immediate action against the United Auto Workers official who issued a death threat against Will Lehman, the Mack Trucks worker and socialist candidate for UAW president. Raymond Jensen Jr., an organizer for UAW Region 9, whose Facebook profile carries an "I Support Sean Fain" campaign badge, posted an AI-generated image on Lehman's public Facebook page last week, showing the candidate bound and gagged, blood running from his mouth, with a masked gunman training an automatic rifle on his back. According to the UAW, Jensen was paid $202,000 in salary and other expenses last year. As of this writing, neither Fain nor any other officer of the UAW International Executive Board has repudiated the threat, and Jensen remains on the union's payroll. Lehman has denounced the threat as an attempt to intimidate the growing rank-and-file opposition his campaign is giving voice to. In a letter to the legal counsel of the court-appointed monitor overseeing the UAW, Lehman's attorney, Eric Lee, demanded an immediate investigation, Jensen's suspension without pay, a public repudiation by the union, and referral of the matter to the Department of Labor and federal law enforcement. Workers who contacted the WSWS denounced the death threat and the silence of the top leadership of the UAW and its Solidarity House national headquarters. Tanya, a worker at the Stellantis Detroit Assembly Complex Jefferson plant, said, "As a UAW member, I find the threat that Raymond Jensen posted against Will Lehman disrespectful, an incitement, and horrific. Something needs to be done to stop it. Even though we're all entitled to free speech, this crosses the line. It's not right if a UAW officials are allowed to do whatever they want to do with no accountability. Workers are fed up and tired with the union because we don't feel our voices taken into consideration when it's time to vote, or that we have a say, period. What Jensen did is way out of line. If things had been on the other foot, and Brother Lehman had done something like that, you can be sure all hell would break loose. It's time for the UAW to put a stop to these threats." End quote. Raymond L. Jensen Jr. should be fired at once, a GM worker in Flint Assembly Plant said. "I can't believe nothing's been done. There have been no repercussions yet for his actions or threatening to kill Will Lehman, a shop floor worker running for UAW president. Workers get fired for much less. This should have already been addressed in a timely manner. The UAW apparatus fears Will, because more and more workers, like myself, know he's right in exposing the truth. If someone in the UAW can send death threats to workers, what kind of people are we dealing with? Surely not people fighting for us or on our side. UAW officials act like gangsters. It truly shows it is us, the workers, versus them. They only care about profits and not our well-being, and apparently they want to hurt anyone who gets in their way. The corruption is so blatant in front of our faces. There are far too many instances to ignore this anymore. A UAW official has threatened to kill one of our brothers. We have to form rank-and-file committees to stop this intimidation and the unsafe working conditions." End quote. A leading member of the Next Tier Workers rank-and-file committee in Saginaw, Michigan, which fought the UAW's repeated attempts to push through concessions contracts at the Giant Steering Plant, said, "The UAW apparatus has threatened Will because what he's fighting for threatens the institution of the UAW. It is not an institution that defends or represents the workers, the membership. It represents those who hold power and will not voluntarily relinquish it. An investigation is needed to uncover all those who are perpetuating this injustice against Will. It should be a criminal investigation. Without a doubt, this shows Solidarity House, Fain, and all of them are in bed with Ford, GM, and Stellantis, and all the auto-related corporations. They act like the Godfather. Fain has not done anything for workers. Under unbearable conditions in the plants, of toxic air and very high heat, the UAW opposed any work stoppages. The company's profits shall not be disturbed. The threats against Will are aimed against us, the rank and file." End quote. Thomas Adams, a retired GM worker and author of UAW Inc., an investigation of the corporatist degeneration of the UAW, condemned the death threat and pointed to the significance of the region Jensen works for. "I find it interesting that Raymond Jensen Jr. is from Region 9. In my 2019 essay, tale of corruption by the United Auto Workers and the big three American automakers, I discuss a nonprofit corporation called the UAW Region 9 New York Training Initiative, tasked with training Perry's ice cream workers. The UAW's leadership learned that they could establish these training centers funded by state training money, in this case, the New York State Department of Labor. New York State was funding the Perry's Ice Cream Training Fund to the tune of $579,463. It speaks for itself. It had FBI agents laughing that 127 ice cream makers were the best trained ice cream makers in the history of making ice cream. The administration caucus is like an overarching fatal disease that's infected the labor movement, not just the UAW. I call for a full and open investigation of these threats and a public statement defending the right of Brother Lehman to campaign. End quote. Lyle Rousey, a retired Michigan auto worker, pointed to the responsibility of the UAW monitor, installed after the federal corruption prosecution that sent more than a dozen union officials, including two former UAW presidents, to prison for embezzling union dues and taking corporate bribes. Quote, "Isn't it the monitor's duty during an election cycle to assure honesty and integrity of the union election? So, if it is, it's time for them to take action against this horrendous display from the UAW leaders." End quote. Far from intimidating and isolating Lehman, the threat has provoked anger from the rank-and-file workers and growing support for his campaign to abolish the corrupt UAW apparatus and transfer power to workers on the shop floor through the building of rank-and-file committees independent of the union bureaucracy. A report on Lehman's campaign website detailed the support he won from workers Monday outside Bridgewater Interiors and the Stellantis Warren Truck Assembly Plant in suburban Detroit. Workers stopped to denounce the threat, took stacks of leaflets into the plants, and posed with the candidate at the gates. "They're trying to shut you up," one young Bridgewater worker told the campaign team, "and they usually only do that when somebody's telling the truth." End quote. Will replied, "That guy makes $202,000 a year as an organizer. So, I'm in Region 9, and he's my region's organizer. They haven't organized anything new. They haven't got any more workers in our region. All I'm doing is running for a position in the UAW. All I'm doing is telling workers that we don't need those people, those positions in Solidarity House. We need the power on the floor. That's what they don't like. That's why they issue threats." A Warren truck worker told the team anyone responsible for the threat should be in prison, along with Sean Fain too. Come on, you don't go on and threaten people. Asked what he thought about Will's call for power to be transferred from the UAW apparatus to the workers on the shop floor, he said, "That'd be better. We have enough problems trying to get the union to fight for us or do anything." As an example, he pointed to the smoke in the factories due to the Canadian wildfires. "The smoke days were real bad. They gave us masks, but they were only made for dust. They aren't made for any kind of chemicals or fires. You need a respirator. And if you don't have that, forget about it. Those dust masks do nothing. The factory should have shut down. Even the news said you need to stay in your house, don't leave." A fuller account of the exchanges is available on Lehman's campaign website, willforuawpresident.org. That's willforuawpresident.org. Lehman's campaign has urged workers to demand that the UAW publicly repudiate the threat by writing to feedback@uaw.org. with copies to info@willforuawpresident.org. The record of the man who issued the threat sheds light on what workers are up against. Jensen was a member of the Unite All Workers for Democracy, the UAWD, the now defunct faction that promoted Fain's election as a reform candidate in 2022. In a 2019 interview with Labor Notes, Jensen, who they referred to as an activist in Local 774 at GM's Tonawanda engine plant in Buffalo, New York, said, "The administration caucus is thoroughly corrupt," charging that its leaders had either participated in the corruption or known about it and done nothing. Cleaning up the union, he argued then, meant giving the membership a voice through the direct election of officers. As recently as 2024, Jensen was still being showcased as the face of union reform, appearing as a featured speaker at that year's Labor Notes conference with an address titled, "How We Are Turning Our Unions Around." The author of the 2019 Labor Notes article, staff writer Chris Brooks, went on to become Fain's chief of staff, until the UAW Monitor forced his resignation over his efforts to intimidate Fain's internal rivals on the International Executive Board. 7 years on, the erstwhile critics of the administration's caucus gangsterisms have made its methods their own. Jensen's own contribution to turning our unions around is now a matter of record. The one-member, one-vote system he once claimed to champion has produced a genuine rank-and-file challenge, and his response is to circulate an image of the challenger with a gun aimed at his back. How Trump uses Truth Social to manipulate markets and pocket millions, by Barry Gray. Following the release of President Donald Trump's financial disclosure filing for 2025, showing that in the first year of his second term, he pocketed $2.2 billion, including $1.4 billion in cryptocurrency deals, the World Socialist website wrote, "The scale of Trump's self-enrichment renders the great corruption scandals of American history almost quaint by comparison." End quote. Recent analysis of the disclosure report, which were filed with the Office of Government Ethics, have brought into sharper relief Trump's use of the presidency to line his own pockets and those of family members. On July 17th, CNN published an investigative report documenting the fact that in 2025, Trump made at least 44 stock purchases of 21 different companies within a week of posting a complimentary Truth Social message about the firms, their executives, or their products. Trump also made other stock purchases shortly before posting more general messages highlighting policy changes that could benefit those companies, but without naming them. CNN used artificial intelligence to review Trump's Truth Social post in relation to the stock transactions listed in the disclosure filing. That report gives the amount of each purchase in broad ranges. On January 6, 2025, Trump bought at least $1,000 in U.S. steel stock. The same day, he posted on Truth Social that his planned tariffs would, quote, "make it a much more profitable and valuable company," end quote. On March 10, 2025, Trump bought between $15,000 and $50,000 in stock in each of GE Aerospace, Eli Lilly, and Apple. On March 12th, he mentioned all three companies in a single Truth Social post, quoting from a Fox News article highlighting their new investment in U.S. industries. On April 5th, 2025, Trump purchased $200,000 to $500,000 in shares of chip manufacturer NVIDIA. On April 15th, he posted the following on Truth Social. "NVIDIA commits $500 billion to build AI supercomputers, plus, in the United States exclusively. All necessary permits will be expedited and quickly delivered to NVIDIA." End quote. On July 23, 2025, Trump purchased $500 to $1 million in Tesla stock. The following day, July 24th, he posted on Truth Social, "Everyone is stating that I will destroy Elon's companies by taking away some, if not all, of the large-scale subsidies he receives from the U.S. government. This is not so. I want Elon to thrive." End quote. Trump made more than 50 purchases of Tesla stock last year, investing at least $4 million. In March of 2025, he posted videos of himself and Tesla CEO Elon Musk standing alongside Tesla cars at the White House and promoting the firm's pledge to increase production in the U.S. Several of Trump's Tesla stock purchases, involving at least $17,000, were made days before those Truth Social posts promoting Tesla. On July 28, 2025, Trump purchased $15,000 to $50,000 in American Eagle stock. A Truth Social post on August 4th declared, "Sidney Sweeney, a registered Republican, has the hottest ad out there. It's for American Eagle, and the jeans are flying off the shelves. Go get 'em, Sidney." On August 18, 2025, Trump bought at least $250,000 in stock in two defense contractors that produce components for the F-22 Raptor jet, RTX, and Boeing, as well as at least $100,000 in stock in a third, Northrop Grumman. Days later, he posted a video of the F-22 Raptor proclaiming it, quote, "the greatest and most beautiful fighter ever made," end quote. By such criminal actions, the Trump White House has institutionalized, at the height of state power, the insider trading that pervades the wheeling and dealing of the financial oligarchy. Unlike every U.S. president going back at least five decades, Trump has not placed his assets in a blind trust. He has refused to divest from businesses and place them instead in a trust he can still access. One of the trustees is his son, Donald Trump Jr. White House spokesperson Anna Kelly responded to CNN's report with the brazen lying and impudence that typifies the Trump administration. Quote, "President Trump only acts in the best interest of the American public, which is why they overwhelmingly re-elected him to his office, despite years of lies and false accusations against him and his business from the fake news media. There are no conflicts of interest," end quote. In what must rank as the understatement of the decade, Dylan Hedler Gaudet of the Project on Government Oversight called Trump's combination of social media posting and stock trading, quote, "a case study in presidential conflicts of interest." Other examples of Trump's corruption include, on August 1st, Trump Media and Technology Group, which owns Truth Social, will begin selling quicker access to Trump's Truth Social post to Wall Street firms, so the firms can make more money trading on the post. The service, called Truth API, is aimed at financial service organizations, including high-frequency trading firms that rely on rapid access to market-moving information. Trump Media has played up how much Truth Social impacts the markets. Interim CEO Kevin McGurn said, "Markets already move on Truth Social posts." He added that Truth API would provide traders with a more instantaneous feed on the platform's most market-moving truths, helping to monetize property assets. The new venture will only expand Trump's use of Truth Social to manipulate markets and increase his personal wealth. In May, at the time of Trump's state visit to China, NVIDIA was granted approval to export H200 AI processors to 10 Chinese companies, potentially opening up a $50 billion market for NVIDIA, whose shares rose 4% on the news, pushing the company's market cap to more than $5.7 trillion. Trump, who holds between $1 million and $5 million in NVIDIA stock, brought CEO Jensen Huang on Air Force One to China, where the chip export approval was announced on day one of the trip. The approval increased the value of Trump's stock holdings by as much as $5 million. The New York Times reported last week that the top investor in a South Korean aluminum company facing U.S. Commerce Department penalties on exports to the U.S. made a $2 million contribution in 2025 to Trump's holding company. The payment by the parent company, Base Group, was revealed for the first time in Trump's financial disclosure filing released in June. Base Group recently hosted Eric Trump at its Seoul headquarters. The $2 million from Base Group is only a small fraction of the millions collected in 2025 by Trump's holding company from foreign sources. According to The Times, Trump's business received a total of at least $125 million in payments from many countries, including Britain, India, Indonesia, Ireland, Oman, the Philippines, Qatar, Romania, Saudi Arabia, South Korea, Turkey, Vietnam, and the United Arab Emirates. The fact that none of the official institutions of American capitalism, least of all the Democratic Party, are willing or able to rein in Trump's criminality testifies to the rule of staggeringly wealthy and parasitic financial oligarchy, which has installed a fascist product of the New York real estate and gambling mafia in the White House. When asked by the New York Times in January why he's so open about using politics for personal profit, Trump said, "I found out that nobody cared. I'm allowed to." End quote. You can find all this and more at the World Socialist website, WSWS.org. This has been Archie Stone for the World Socialist website.
The World Socialist website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.